Good evening, everyone. My name is Jeffrey Combs. I am the president and founder of Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. It is my absolute privilege and pleasure to welcome you to tonight's More Heart Than Talent Mastermind call. I've been hosting this call for 18-plus years, and I've had exceptional guests on this call over the years. Tonight, I have Dr. Josephine Gross as my guest on tonight's call. Josephine will be, for the first time on this call, an exceptional woman, a great friend, and I'm going to bring Josephine out to the call as soon as I cover a few quick announcements. I'd like to welcome everyone tonight as we enter December, the last month of 2016. You're a little less than 30 days away from the All She Wrote for this year. You unequivocally deserve to finish strong. We'll cover some great content tonight that will assist you to be a better networker, a better entrepreneur, a better business professional. We'll also give you some great content and context and how to improve your communication style and how to really buy in to the industry, the company, and the services and values that you're going to be providing. This Saturday, I will be hosting the last Breakthroughs to Success workshop of calendar year 2016. If you're my coaching client and have not accessed your opportunity to attend Breakthroughs to Success, each and every year I host four intimate events for my coaching clients only. December is the last event of this year. In February, June, September, and December, you'll have an opportunity to attend one of the Breakthroughs to Success workshops. This weekend will be number 115, the 115th event, the intimate event that I've held going back to July 2000. So if you want to attend that event and you're a coaching client, you can still slip into it as the event is not sold out. Next Saturday, I will be in Fort Lauderdale, Florida at the beautiful Westin on the beach. I just added to my speaking roster closing out 2016, as apropos as this is, the very last day, December 31st, I will be in Pasco, Washington with Amanda Bobbitt. That event will be a standing room only. It's almost half sold out already. That is in the Tri-Cities area of Washington. Phoenix, January 7th, I will be with Susan Sly. January 21st, I'll be in Marina Del Rey with myself and Marissa Campbell. January 28th, I'll be in New Orleans, Louisiana for the first time in 6 years. I want to thank Zach DeRocher for hosting my call. Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, February 4th. La Jolla, California with C.G. Siddons. March 18th, I'll be in Baltimore, Maryland. And February and March 25th, I will be in Long Island. Those are the events where I will be speaking for the first 3 months of 2017. And then on April 15th, I'll be hosting the Millionaire Blueprint event in the Meadowlands with Dr. Joe Dispenza and Alexis Romano. So those are some of the events that you can attend in the upcoming months, 2016 and 17, as we close this year out. This year has been an exceptional year for myself and many of you, and I know that many of you are looking forward to closing this year strong in the first quarter of 2017. If you're on tonight's call and not had the opportunity to ever receive a free 15-minute coaching session from me, feel free to contact me on my inbox and Facebook with your phone number and what you're seeking from my collaboration for 15 minutes. And that is open to anyone who's not accessed a credit or not accessed a coaching call in the past. And you also see we're wrapping up some of our promotional events online from our back office, some of our downloadable products, some of our prospecting clinics, etc. We have a couple more days to go on that, so definitely take advantage of that. It brings me great pleasure to move into the inspirational portion of tonight's call. This week's topic, interview with Dr. Josephine Gross. It is my absolute privilege to interview Dr. Josephine Gross, as I have known her for well over 10 years. I've been very good friends with Josephine and her husband, Chris, going back into the late 90s. Back in the late 90s, I had the privilege of being able to write in some of their publications and have been featured several times in Networking Times. I have been promoting that magazine for many, many years. It's unequivocally the best publication I have ever endorsed in the network marketing and direct sales industry. A little bit about Dr. Josephine. She was introduced to network in 1997. Dr. Josephine was introduced to network marketing. At her first company event, she met her husband, Chris Gross, then CEO of MLM Publishing Incorporated. In 1998, Josephine started working as managing editor and circulation manager for several network marketing publications. In 2001, she and Chris founded Networking Times, and in 2003, they launched Networking University. From 2001 to 2006, Josephine was a full-time middle and high school teacher for one of the top private schools in the United States while assisting Chris launch Gabriel Media Group on weekends. Josephine also followed John David Mann as editor-in-chief of Networking Times in 2006, while John stayed on as a consulting editor. In 2013, Josephine became the chair of the ANMP Committee for International Affairs. Josephine is a very sought-after international speaker in network marketing, direct sales, free enterprise, and a multitude of topics. Josephine also came to the U.S. to pursue her PhD in French at one of my favorite universities on the farm, Stanford University in Palo Alto. Dr. Josephine, welcome to tonight's call.
Well, thank you, Jeffrey. It's a great pleasure and honor to be with you on your call, to be with your community. I have some friends in your community, so good evening to my old and new friends, and thank you for having me.
Thank you very much. You and I have a long history. Your husband and I also have a long history going back to Upline magazine days. So that was one of my first publications I was ever featured in, and then of course Networking Times. So thank you for being on tonight's call.
Oh, my pleasure. Wow, when you were reading saying my bio, Jeffrey, I was like, wow, I've had a long life.
Now, you know, the listeners can detect a little accent, Josephine. Where is that accent from?
I'm originally from Belgium, and I came to the United States in the mid-80s because I got a scholarship to pursue my degree at Stanford.
Now, you know, that's one of my favorite colleges, and we have a Stanford grad on tonight called Jody Garut. I heard him ring in. He was a superstar baseball player at Stanford, went on to play Major League Baseball for 6 years. So I know that he is smiling as you're mentioning his alma mater. Let's cover a little bit about your background. I know that you have been a very successful educator, but in the late 80s, you also transitioned to the field of network marketing and direct sales. How were you introduced to this great industry?
Yeah, it's a good question how someone with an academic background winds up, you know, spending my entire career in the network marketing space. What happened was, in the mid-90s, a few years after I had graduated with my doctorate from Stanford, I had done some research, some translation, and I was in between jobs, and I was living in the Bay Area at the time. And a friend of mine knew that I was kind of, you know, in between space. So she sent me a package in the mail that contained some brochures, some product brochures, and then a little bit about the opportunity. And I hadn't paid much attention to it because even though I was open to other things to do, marketing a product was about as low on my list as anything I would want to do. And so I had put it aside, but she kept checking in with me. And so finally I looked at it and I told her, listen, you don't think for a second that this information in these brochures that I'm taking this seriously, because this is written up by the company. Of course the company is going to say these are great products and it's a great opportunity. And I asked her, is there anything generic, third party, non-partial that I can find out about this, you know, to have some real information here? And she was new to the business, so she says, oh, I don't know too much, but on Thursday I'm organizing a lunch and I will have my upline here who is also a Stanford alum. So she got my attention, and, you know, I like this friend. So I drove over to her house in Mill Valley, and there I met a lovely couple that, you know, the woman was a Stanford alum, And I thought that they would talk to me about business and try to recruit me, but not so. They talked about their lifestyle, their values, the things that they teach their team, their how they use their business to live their purpose. And this lady was also teaching a workshop to which she invited me. It was called something to do with overcoming your limiting beliefs. Now, there she got my attention. The things that she talked about, I could recognize that they were things that I'd never heard about or studied or learned in all my years in academics. And I was smart enough to know that she had something, I could learn something there that would round out whatever I had learned before and that could open up new avenues for me. So, without really having much interest in the business or the company or selling products or even becoming a network marketer, I signed up with her. So I joined her team at the highest level just because I wanted to be in that culture, learn from her, take her trainings, and just see where that would lead. So I did. And when she understood my interest and my focus, I asked her, can you recommend some books that I read? Because she had also told me more about the network marketing business model, and I was intrigued because to me, business was this, I was only used to traditional business, and here was a new business model that I'd never heard of that was based on collaboration and building a team and where you can only succeed when you help others succeed. So it really appealed to my heart.
And so here's a good point also, and in Europe, network marketing in the part of Europe that you are from, network marketing doesn't have the same strength that it has in America. So this was really virtually a new business model for you at the time, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I'm honored that you would be on tonight's call because you bring such great writing and a lot of great keynotes to the whole industry. In my hand is a copy of Network Times. I've been a subscriber, a reader, a contributor, a collaborator going back to the late 90s. If you remember, you and Chris used to speak and come to my events when the great Jim Rohn was my keynote speaker. And I remember Susan Sly's first speaking engagement back in 2006. You and Chris had a booth there. Tell the folks a little bit about your passion for writing about the network marketing industry and some of your publications that you are associated with.
Yeah, well, I basically joined, when I joined network marketing, I went to my first event, and that's where I met Chris, and I heard about his vision, which is to provide positive press for network marketing. Now, he had to tell me a little bit more for me to understand, but everyone on this call knows that there is a true need for positive press about network marketing because, there is many reasons for it that we don't need to go into, but I saw a real need there in the market, and so I was eager to join his team and help him with creating that positive press through our publications. I discovered the Upline Journal. When I went to my first Upline Masters event and I heard people like Rita Davenport and Sandy Ellsberg and John Fogg, and heard these people speak, it was like a whole new world opened up to me. And I was really drawn to it because I could recognize my own need for personal development that I hadn't been met by my academic training. And so it was as much a personal attraction that I had to it as seeing a need in the market and globally for showcasing to the general public what this business is all about, how you can best do it, how it works, and how it can be an incredible vehicle for personal and global transformation. So I joined the Upline team first, and then a couple of years later, we founded Network Marketing Lifestyles. And that publication was on the newsstand. It was the first one that was on the newsstand. We launched people like Robert Kiyosaki. We were the first one to put him on the cover of a magazine. And from there, really, his whole reputation, career, and everything took off from him.
I was part of all that. I went back. I used to write in Upline Magazine. I was featured in Upline Magazine in 1999. I remember the whole transition.
Yeah. So I joined the team and then became circulation manager for Lifestyles, and that evolved into Networking Times, which we founded in 2001. And in the beginning, it, you know, it was a startup. And we had our writers, like it was John David Mann and Uma Autka and different writers that followed from, you know, when from the Upline Journal joined us with, for the Networking Dimes team. And during that time, I took a break because, you know, I, being involved in a startup, it was good for one of us to have, like, stability. So I became a middle school and high school teacher and watched things a little bit from the sideline and was involved during my school vacations, et cetera. But then when John David Mann moved on, you know, he interviewed so many great people for Networking Times that he started to get a lot of book offers. And he his passion was to write. And he was also doing being functioning as managing editor. So he decided, he told us, listen, I want to go to full-time writing. And there was this opening for me. We tried to fill the opening like we interviewed some candidates for it, because at that point I didn't really see myself as the editor in chief of a news and publication. You know, I have to realize that English is my third language.
What is your second?
First is Dutch. I spoke Dutch at home and French in school, so those are the first two. And then, you know, I learned German and a little Spanish, and I learned English in school. But you know what that's like? I really only fully learned it when I came here in the mid-80s.
So here's a great question for many of the people on the line. So you have a mastery of multiple languages, but many people on tonight's call have challenges writing a post on Facebook. They have challenges with writing a post on LinkedIn. What advice would you give for someone who has writer's block, who said, they say in their head, they say stories like this, Josephine, I don't want to put myself out there. I'm shy. I'm not sure what people are going to say. What insight would you give someone as a publisher of multiple magazines who you had no experience when you started? What insight would you give them on how to overcome some of the writing anxieties?
Sure. The best advice to become a great writer is to read, and read with awareness and consciousness, and notice when you're reading what you like, what touches you, what puts you off. And then you kind of emulate how you experience what other people write. So that's one thing. And the other thing is, when you're starting to write a story or an article, start with a blank page and kind of put down all the thoughts without censoring anything, just anything that relates to your story. Just do a brain dump. So you write everything that comes up in terms of what touches you, what you remember, things that your heart feels like sharing. So you put it all down and you will organize it later. Those are two important ways that that work for me and that work, I think, work for other people as well. So observe what you read and apply that. So read with consciousness and awareness.
You know, you're also a very skilled interviewer. Like me, I have interviewed thousands and thousands of people. I've also coached 60,000 hours, so imagine how many questions I've asked. That's six times the 10,000-hour habit. And I know that you personally have interviewed over 3,000 top income earners and achievers. I will say that. That's three with a comma and three zeros. 3,000 of the top income earners in network marketing and direct sales. And, I mean, you've interviewed the best of the best. So I like to ask this question of what are commonalities? So in these people you interviewed, what have you noticed that's familiar and predictable with some of these top-tier producers?
Oh, yeah. I would say for starters, the leaders that succeed, they're people who are always studying the profession and growing, always study and grow. So they are open-minded, and they build on their strengths, and they're always developing themselves. In terms of how they work, I would say they embrace both technology and the belly-to-belly, person-to-person building and relationships. So you really have to embrace both, and that's important to for, you know, especially millennials who will maybe more focused on technology and baby boomers who may be a little fearful of technology. Unless you integrate both, you really can't be a great leader in this profession.
You can't. You're correct. I'm going to ask you a broad question, let you narrow it down. Who's some of the most fascinating and interesting people that you've interviewed, if you're open to sharing that?
Oh, sure. Well, a big leader that comes to mind is Halton Buggs. And the reason that he comes to mind is I interviewed him 2 years ago. But ever since, I've interviewed many leaders who say, everything in my business changed when I met and became mentored by Halton Buggs. And even though they may no longer be in his company, they will still tell me specific things that they learned from him. So that's one of those leaders. Another leader like that is, for instance, Jimmy Smith. The man is 88 years old. He had a career as a butcher and became a network marketer at age he started dabbling in the business in his 60s, but found his current company at age 74. And in the past 14 years, he made around $50 million in income, he and his family.
I was there when it happened. I remember he came to my first More Heart Than Talent event January 2005. Susan Sly was in his team. She was just getting started.
Yep.
So, I mean, I got to really watch him. I remember he had his first $40,000 month. I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I knew him in a couple of previous ventures, so I got to see that. Now, you
yep.
have, you and Chris, have like me, have really seen this industry change. I started the industry in 1990 with an L.A. company, my first L.A. company that starts with an H, so you know who that would be, right there in Inglewood, right by the airport. That
yeah.
was my first. That was my first real company. I got to see Jim Rohn. I actually was in the A company before that, and I started in the industry in 1985. But you came into this industry in the 90s, so it's not even the same industry. The pay plans are different. The products are so much better than they were then. Technology has changed the whole game plan. But still, even back in the 90s, it was as pure and as good then as it is now. We didn't know that. We didn't know it was difficult. But it's much more credible, viable business opportunity. What would you say to someone who's on the line tonight, being a veteran that you are of over 20 or almost 20 years, what advice would you give someone who's brand new on the telephone entering business in network marketing?
Well, you're absolutely right, Jeffrey, that the business is, in a way, a lot easier because we've worked out many of the kinks. And if you're in a good company, it has great technology, great tools, so it's a business in a box. So you're very lucky that you join at this stage of the game. Advice, I would say, look for someone who has what you want and do what the person does. So be a great follower. Be a great student. The answers are out there, so you don't need to research, reinvent. Build relationships with your upline, whoever the upline might be. It may not be your direct upline, but find someone in your community that you can work with. And observe what people do in terms of on social media, for instance, social media marketing. Observe what they do and see what works, what resonates with you, and emulate that. It's pretty much the business comes with built-in training. You pretty much, it's based on duplication, right?
It absolutely is, and many people get, I see this every single day, people get, they tend to get overwhelmed with what they don't have and what they're not getting and what they're not doing. And I mean, I've seldom ever seen a company that the company wasn't so good you could succeed with or without a great upline. And having a great mentor is always an asset, but the industry is strong enough and the companies are good enough that anyone can enter this industry and succeed by desire and following a very simple, relaxed system. Unfortunately, many people overwhelm themselves, tell themselves stories, and then talk themselves out of the opportunity and then leave the industry saying they had a bad experience, never really owning the fact that they never really committed. Would you agree with some of what I said?
Oh, absolutely, 100%. And that's where you touch upon another important factor, Jeffrey, which is what every leader will confirm, is that success in this business is maybe 20% strategy, but 80% mindset. So that's where you and I come in, because we help build people's mindset, build people's belief in themselves, in the profession, in that they can do it, and if need be, in their company also. So it's so important to nurture yourself with food that build your entrepreneurial mindset, because let's face it, most of us are raised with an employee mindset. The schools don't cater to entrepreneur, don't make you, give you the skills or the way of thinking. They don't teach you how to think like an entrepreneur. Let's face it, we have to do that for ourselves. Thankfully, we have amazing role models in the network marketing profession, and you know, people like you. There is so much good, wonderful personal development and leadership development out there that is just a matter of putting your blinders on and being selective about what you're going to feed your mind, just like we do with feeding our bodies, right?
Exactly. And, you know, when I started in 1990, I did not have a great upline. I was not placed in a great business. The business model was a breakaway pay plan. I didn't know that it was a difficult pay plan because that's what it was. That was most of what was available in that time frame. I got to see the great Jim Rohn in Los Angeles a couple times, and I thought I had a great business. You know, one of the most interesting things that ever happened to me is I left a good company. I followed someone's advice, went to another startup company, and we were selling homeopathic, natural, fruit-flavored, this takes a long time to say this, fruit-flavored, appetite-suppressant jelly beans. How does that sound?
Mm-hmm.
And you know Mike Sheffield, he found that product for this startup company, and they had sat on a floor in Dallas, Texas for a couple years, and they had melted in the jars. So when we got them as our product, it was a weight loss product with soy protein, weight loss powder, that was relabeled and repackaged, and that was the active ingredient, and they had melted together, and that was a product that obviously I did not succeed in. But, you know, those are character-building moments, and they're... Well, I also believe you don't have to hit rock bottom to succeed, but you know, there are great character-building moments that you have to be able to stay in the game long enough to master the emotions so you can master the skills. Now, I noticed that one of your niches is women, and women have really, really done well in this industry. Going back to the Tupperware days, Brownie Brown, who's one of the top personal development speakers in the history of this industry, and then there's Avon, and there's many of the party plan businesses, and then there's many businesses that are women businesses. I mean, Mary Kay and some of the others. So one of your keynotes that I know you deliver is the rising economic power of women. Can you share with our listeners tonight a little bit about your niche in speaking to women and how you really empower women?
Oh, it's a favorite topic of mine, and I really developed an interest in this topic after reading a book by Maddie Deichwald. She's a demographer. The book is called Influence, How Women's Rising Economic Power Will Change Our World for the Better. And so she points out that today, women own more than 50% of the wealth in the world. Yet
that's
most,
amazing.
Yeah. And that's because one reason is that we outlive our husbands oftentimes. There are many reasons. Yet, the paradox is that most poor people in the world are women, and most of them are single moms. And there's a parallel there in network marketing, which is 75% of network marketers are women. You know, it depends from year to year, but basically it hasn't changed over the past 10 years. It goes around that number, 75%. But most of the top earners are still men. No, I know there are companies where that's not true. There are exceptions, but across the board, most of the top earners are men. You asked me if I could name two big leaders that come to mind, and I noticed that I named two men. I named Halton Bugs, and I named Jimmy Smith. I'm like, geez, I got...
But you also could have named Donna Johnson and Susan Sly just as easily.
Exactly. We pay close attention in networking times to have gender balance, even, you know, more women. We feature a lot of couples. And sometimes I reach out, I make a special effort to reach out for women, because if you've seen Sheryl Sandberg's talks, you know, Sheryl Sandberg, the chief operating officer of Facebook, you know, she has this famous talk called Lean In, and she points out that women don't raise their hand as much in the class, at the boardroom table. So similarly, we do not get as many requests and article submissions and people who want to be featured, not as many women. So I make a conscious effort frequently to just go out to, you know, the women on my list and say, hey, can you submit a quote for our quote of the week, because we have too many quotes from men. And when I do, we get these amazing submissions. And I'm like, girls, we got to speak up. We have to share our wisdom, shine our light. We have so much to give. But, you know, it's a cultural thing, and it's something we're all still working on. So it is something it's very important to me, especially in network marketing. It is a feminine business model in the sense that it is based on connection and relationships and collaboration. So it attracts a lot of women, and I want to really be their cheerleader and say, you know, step in, step up, have a seat at the table, raise your hand. We need you. We need you to transform business from, you know, where it had business historically has been the business as it was dominated by, and I will say masculine energy, because it's not, I don't want to say it's men, but the energies were out of balance. So masculine energy dominating made business veer towards greed and even corruption and even violence. And so we need to bring back the feminine energy in business. And we are doing that in network marketing. Feminine energy meaning based on our awareness that we're all interconnected. And that's how we're going to bring back balance, not only to our own world, but to the planet and to, you know, even between the haves and the have-nots. This is also part of the entrepreneurial calling, is to create balance in our world that's so much in need of it. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. You also cover the sacred commerce and the return of the feminine in business. What does that actually mean, sacred commerce?
Yes, I love that concept. And the term actually comes from a book that I came across last year, and we interviewed the authors. The author is actually Lebanese. His name is Ayman Sawaf. He wrote it with his wife, Rowan Gabrielle. If you're interested in this concept, go find that interview. It's an awesome interview. But basically, it comes down to this. So we've talked about commerce being, you know, when it was disconnected from the feminine, it turned into greed and corruption and all that. So we came up with, we discovered that was unsustainable, so we added a third element to it. So we came up with the concept of social entrepreneurship, social commerce, right? Where we have three bottom lines, meaning first come people, then planet, then profit. So we take care of the people, then our planet, and profit comes in the third place. Now with sacred commerce, we add a fourth dimension to business. So we have people, planet, profit, and purpose. So it is business as a vehicle for personal growth, personal transformation, and a platform to contribute our gifts. So it ties into our spiritual purpose. And Ayman tells the story how in advanced civilizations, starting in ancient Egypt, commerce was considered a sacred activity that brought peace and prosperity to communities and nations. And he even talks about this as they had merchant priests and priestesses that were trained to use commerce as a vehicle for raising consciousness in themselves and also in the marketplace. And he says, these priests were highly skilled in the art of emotional alchemy, and they knew the law of vibration, like the law of attraction. And this sacred function of commerce gradually got lost when business, like many other areas of life, was stripped again from its heart, its feminine energy, and its emotional quality that, you know, held everything together. But Ayman is describing how now we live in a time where we're coming back to sacred commerce because we know that everything else is unsustainable if we don't come from that place. So it is a fascinating concept that is, I think, really, really applies in network marketing, because when you ask me, you know, what I see common traits in leaders, in big leaders, well, you can succeed big in this business. That happens when you can tie your business to your life purpose. That's really what big leaders have in common as well. They're not just building a business. They're living their life purpose through their business because it's their platform for sharing their gifts with the world and creating a better world. Does that make sense?
Of course, because you're talking about an inspired leadership.
Mm-hmm.
You're coming from inspiration and purpose, not greed and money. I mean, money itself ends up in the hands of people who are skilled at it, but also in teaching money courses and money classes, if money doesn't really have a purpose, then it really has no meaning. And this is why so many people they don't really understand how to create money through service and value. They're used to, just like you said, in job skills, they trade time for dollars.
Yeah.
But if your dialogue with money isn't conducive to being able to attract it through value, service, good, and you're uncomfortable in your unconsciousness with it, then very few people ever cross that bridge. And once again, they become the casualties of the network marketing jungle, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
And just like you said, business creates purpose, and it provides livelihood for people. It provides a way of life. It takes people out of the anxiety they have at their job place. I coached 12 hours today, Josephine, just like I do every day. And I coached a teacher today who was telling me that she loves her profession, but it's so difficult to perform that when she comes home, she's unequivocally exhausted. She's so exhausted from how much anxiety she's in the workplace that she's let it inhibit her ability to produce as a business owner. I mean, don't you see how common this is in today's marketplace, how many people trade time for dollars in jobs that don't value them, and
yes,
they get paid what the job is worth. In today's world, you live in Los Angeles, you and Chris know, you live in a beautiful area of L.A. If you're not making $500,000 in L.A., it makes it very challenging to live. I mean, I asked one of my clients recently who lives in Echo Park, I said, what does a house go for, the standard house? You know, $1.3 million for 1,300 square feet, that doesn't get you much in L.A., does it, Josephine?
Oh, yes. Well, the beauty is, Jeffrey, and we see that exemplified in these stories of these leaders who make it big in network marketing. If you focus on your purpose and service and be a servant leader, that's actually what's going to attract people and business to you. There is a beautiful TED Talk and TED video out there by Simon Sinek, who explains, he is the author of a book called Start With Why, and he explains and proves through examples and science how people don't buy what you do, but they buy why you do it.
He has that video on Leaders Eat Last.
Yeah, that's another one. Yes, yes, he has several good ones. So
he's
people
exceptional.
Don't buy what you do, they buy why you do it. So again, it's tapping into your emotional reasons for doing the business, tapping into your purpose. And when I heard the name of your program, More Heart Than Talent, you know, you're all about heart, Jeffrey, so you're all about that. So we are singing the same songs here in Networking Times. Our tagline is moving the heart of business.
Josephine, you've not only interviewed 3,000 top leaders in your industry, but you and Chris have seen a lot of people come and go. I want you to cover a little bit of some of those commonalities of why people quit before they ever realize their potential in business. I'll start it off. Mm-hmm. Most people aren't committed. They're interested in succeeding, but they aren't really committed. And then their communication style isn't conducive to a body and a brain that comes together so they're one with. Most of society, when they enter business, enter in a state of anxiety. They have a want, they have a wish, they have a like, but they're not really committed. And they don't stay committed and be committed long enough to master a new set of life skills to stay in the game. Like you have different languages you've mastered. I mean, that's not easy. You have a doctorate degree in a country that's not your native country. I mean, you have actually made it in our country, which is a credit to you, when many people live here don't do what you do. So, I mean, what is it that inspired you to learn skills in a foreign country and excel the way you've excelled?
I would say that it comes down to a very simple thing. We all have many obstacles when we make changes in our lives and on our journey. And in each moment, you have a choice. There is a choice to see what's difficult and not working. And The other choice is the choice of what I would call pure positivity, seeing every obstacle and challenge as an opportunity for growth. And we really are presented with that choice in every moment. And I would say that those who don't last in network marketing, if you're not absolutely positive with around people about your business, you're really not going to make it. So, and that's something you learn, and it has to do with the people that you surround yourself with, the things you feed your mind, like we said, but also a deep personal commitment and some simple disciplines. Like for some people, it can be meditation, it can be journaling, it can be a gratitude practice. But constantly remind yourself that you have this freedom, you have this choice of choosing positivity. And a story comes to mind that we actually titled The Power of Pure Positivity. It's a story of a woman in Tunisia. Her name is Lamia Betayeb. We featured her in the July-August issue of Networking Times. And so she is in North Africa. Tunisia is a small country in North Africa. It's not a wealthy country. The annual family average income is $7,000 a year. That's compared to like $50,000 here. And she, Lamia, growing up, she, when the teacher asked her what she wanted to do, she'd always say, I want to be a millionaire. I want to be a millionaire. And people laughed at her and couldn't relate to it, et cetera. So around in her early 20s, she did a search. She was online searching and stumbled upon a YouTube video by Bill Clinton, who was endorsing network marketing. And she didn't know what network marketing was, but she did some research. She just knew that there was something there for her. So she searched and searched. And she tells the, I don't have time to share the entire story, but she goes over the incredible obstacles that she had to overcome. First of all, there are no credit cards in her country. The Tunisian currency is not convertible in international currency. So she couldn't sign up. And then after she goes through this incredible twist and turn story to finally get a credit card, now she was in a country, she couldn't recruit anyone else in her country because people don't have credit cards. So she started building online. At first she shares how she got 257 no's in a row and still believed that she was, you know, onto something. And she says after the 257th one, she says, I understood God closed the door and that he was going to open a different door. And right then, a new idea dropped into her mind. Oh, I have to go on Facebook. I have to start building on Facebook in a region where people do have credit cards, where they do speak my language, because she speaks only Arab. And so she started building a community in the Gulf countries, so Dubai, where people have money and credit cards. Long story short, after building 9 months online, she had assembled a team of 20,000 people. And that allowed her to move from Tunisia to Dubai, where then her business expanded globally. And she's currently making, she's at an income of $400,000 a month. And so she has this incredible journey, and it's all because of the power of pure positivity. She just could not see how an obstacle could stop her. She was so riveted on her vision that she was completely unstoppable. I mean, there's many examples in her story. So I love that story because you can really literally do the impossible when you choose to, not let obstacles get in your way.
That is a great story of perseverance. I mean, that is unequivocally someone who was not willing to quit. I mean, that is what our great country is made on, the land of the free, the land of the brave. If people would only take what they have right in front of them and stay in the game long enough, in the game of network marketing, direct sales, free enterprise, the game where there are no limitations, if they would learn and master their emotions, they would master the skills of the vocation. Just like you said, they have a mindset that's conducive to the outcome. And they develop a few simple habits which relate to discipline. You know, your husband's been a business owner for a long, long time. I've known Chris a long time. I'm going to make sure I remember. Chris is a graduate of St. Joseph University in Philadelphia, right?
Yep, that's right.
So he has persevered. I watched him go through magazine changes. I remember it.
Oh, yeah.
What you've endured. I mean, and And in today's world, many people go, I don't buy magazines. I don't read magazines anymore. Yet, yet you have featured several of my clients. I know that Susan Sly's been in there. I know that you have the top publication in the entire world in network marketing and direct sales. I know that Alexis Romano has been featured in there, another client of mine. I know that many of my friends have written in there. It's a great publication. Now, you are constantly looking for talent, people who have a story. Is that correct? A story of perseverance,
yes.
A story to share. I know that there are a few of my clients on tonight's call that have been top-tier network marketers. How could someone get a hold of you if they wanted to be featured?
Very easy. Find me on Facebook or send an email to info@networkingtimes.com. And you don't need to be a top leader to be featured in Networking Times. There are different levels, and we want to showcase all levels because we have readers from all levels. So the very first level that you can contribute is send us an article, send us a story, because we now have, in addition to the platform, we have our magazine, we have a flourishing blog, we have a huge Facebook community where we share things. So shoot a short video with something you learned on your path. Send us in an article. So that's the very first level. Then we have rising star profiles. So if you're like a couple of years into the business and you've reached some milestones, but your vision is way bigger, well, maybe it's a good time to share your story so we can inspire people who are at that level, among our readers. And then at the highest level, you can be featured as a master networker, and then you can also be featured as a cover story. For instance, Jimmy Smith and Holton Bugs, they made our cover a couple of years ago. So there's different levels. So don't hesitate to reach out, info@networkingtimes.com.
Now, you also have a conference. Is that correct, annually?
Yes. It's a conference that we partner with. It's the, you mentioned the ANMP, the Association for Network Marketing Professionals. So that conference is in Dallas each year, first weekend of June. And there are tremendous speakers there. It's a very affordable conference because it's sponsored by companies, so and your meals are covered. And the talks are 20 minutes long, so they're TED Talks. So it's a very good way to get to know other leaders from around the world and what's worked for them. So it's a wonderful conference that I highly recommend, ANMP International Convention, Dallas, Texas, June 1st through the 4th, 2017.
Josephine, as we close 2016, like I said, you're closing in on 20 years of service in network marketing, direct sales through many of your publications. What future do you see for the industry in the new economy that you see as we go into 2017? What's your real feel on the industry?
Yes. Network marketing will need to and will continue to evolve in terms of adapting to new technologies, new platforms, new online behaviors, social selling, all that. So that's a given. We will always be evolving, just like any other business. To stay relevant, you have to evolve, right? We are positioned very, very well in the new economy, the gig economy or the sharing economy, because we offer something that other... Now, we have competition in the sharing economy. There is Uber, and there is Airbnb, and there is all kinds of freelancing opportunities. So why would someone choose network marketing? We have a competitive advantage. We offer something that most people want more of, that is community and connection. And we offer built-in training, and we offer mentorship and coaching. All that comes with the business. So other people in the sharing economy, other entrepreneurs, home-based entrepreneurs, don't have that. So we offer something very, very valuable. So I think that our business model is going to thrive, and our community is going to flourish.
You know, and there's going to be new products that, I mean, I believe that you'll see legal marijuana start to enter the network marketing industry as more states ratify, not specifically the smoking component, but the health quality components of it. And there's, you know, you've been around long enough to see some of the great products. I remember when remember Sharks Don't Get Cancer? Do you remember that? Shark cartilage, that was a product. I mean, I have seen some.
Yes.
I was in that company. I was part of the incredible NutriCookie. I mean, I have a long history of, I was in the satellite company with the satellite feed. You may remember that. That was,
yes.
That brought personal development to my little apartment when I was a struggling I was a struggling network marketer. It was so cool. I could watch Jim Rohn on my little dish.
Yeah, it was
in
pretty
1993.
Advanced.
I remember alarms. I was part of the alarm you wore in your belt, and you pulled the string if someone was going to attack you.
Mm-hmm.
So
wow.
I've been
wild.
Oh my God! Yes, I remember that. Do you remember beepers? I remember I used to have a beeper.
Yeah.
That every time I used to have a newspaper ad in the USA Today, and every time I got a call in the USA Today, my beeper went off.
Wow.
Oh, my God. And I remember cell phones on long distance were $1 a minute. You get a $2,000 phone bill and you quit.
Yes. Oh, my God. We're dating ourselves, aren't we?
But that's also the evolution of the industry. I mean, new pay plans have come out, better products. I mean, soy has been replaced by great whey protein. I mean,
protein that's not soy.
Right. There's so much more health consciousness. Mm-hmm. There's so much more awareness. I mean, just looking the last 5 years with GMOs and all the other products, and people are much more health conscious in our industry than they ever have been before.
Oh, yeah, and we are playing a very important role in that as network marketers.
Go ahead and share a little bit on that, would you?
Yeah, imagine all the things that we teach people about their health, about, you know, think of the obesity epidemic. Network marketing is really putting a dent in resolving that. Would you agree?
Unequivocally. I mean, you go back to even in the good old days, the first powders. I mean, the first powders, I remember Mark, I was part of Herbalife early. I was in it twice, but I remember the very first powder, it was revolutionary.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Jack LaLanne was the first person on TV to really be a proponent of juicing. I remember watching Black and White when I was a kid. But in the early 80s, I mean, that was revolutionary when Mark Hughes brought together one of his first products. And I mean, that was a big deal. And that was awesome and then Jim Rohn was one of the first speakers to really be embraced in the network marketing industry. I mean, there isn't hardly a network marketer that goes back 20 years that wasn't listening to Jim Rohn on cassette. I mean, it was just the way it was back then. And he was the man, and his VH1 products video products. I mean, I spent hours taking notes on my yellow pad watching him and emulating him. And he was really a pioneer in our great industry. Any closing remarks you would like to offer tonight for people who are listening as we go into 2017?
You are in a great business. Network marketing is an incredible vehicle for personal and global transformation. Just know that and remind yourself by reading stories. Read Networking Times. Listen to stories at your trainings. We really have an incredible tool for transformation, and it comes with an incredible lifestyle. We can create great freedom. So we are in the right place at the right time. Just let's get our thoughts straight, and we can create and do anything we want here.
This is my last question for you, Josephine. I'd love to ask this question to people who have broken through and have really are on the other side and are in the consciousness portion of success. What was the most challenging situation you faced as a young entrepreneur that you had to overcome to make it to where you are now?
Most challenging is, when you realize that the old model is no longer working, you have to really revamp your business and how you're going to do that. You don't have the money and the right people are not in place. So that was really challenging.
Josephine, go ahead. This is good.
So, but you believe that you are given every day what you need, the resources and the know-how to do what it is you need to do today, and you trust that tomorrow will come with new knowledge and new tools and new people, and that's how it works. So you just trust and you go forward in faith.
20 years ago this month, I was $100,000 in credit card debt, had no money in my bank account, had been a full-time network marketer for 6 years, part-time about another four on and off, and I had $100,000 in credit card debt, and no money in the bank, but most importantly, he had no credit left. Now, I had been in debt and had no money, but I'd never experienced no credit. And I sat down and had a good old-fashioned cry. I borrowed $5,000 from my father to get me through the month, and then I told myself I had 90 days to turn the situation around. I had my first multiple six-figure year that year, 1996.
Yeah, beautiful. The universe supports us when we follow our hearts and follow our purpose. The universe supports us in unforeseen ways.
Josephine, thank you for being a first-class woman, a great friend, a great contributor, collaborator, a real ambassador for the network marketing, direct sales, free enterprise, and a great, you're just a first-class woman. I love you and Chris. Thank you for being on tonight's call. Josephine, this call has been recorded. You can have access to it tomorrow on Facebook. Have a great evening. And for anyone that wants to collaborate with Josephine, she gave you a way to reach her. I highly endorse you. Also, subscribe to the magazine and follow any of their content that you can have access to, because it is a great resource. I want to thank everyone for being on tonight's call. This call is officially recorded. Have a great evening, everyone. Thank you very much. Good night and goodbye.